the speculated doubts and the fears of the timid with regard to the treaty and the League of Nations have now all been discussed. The great document which the President brought back from Paris has been analyzed and dissected in the cold atmosphere of higher criticism. But little has been said about the life of the document itself. The necessity for a new order in our diplomatic and international relations. One might almost suppose from the discussion that the literary merits of the paper were the chief point of interest. Meantime, it is necessary to remember that the lack of such a league in 1914 threw the world into the chaos of this war. Terrified statesmen endeavored to sustain the delicately poised balance of power. They ran here and there, uttering their old-time cautions and seeking with pathetic diligence for what they called a formula that would compose the mad impulses which were threatening to engulf the world. They failed because the means were not adapted to the end, because in the modern world things move too fast for the stagecoach diplomacy of the Middle Ages. Had there been a League of Nations then, could Sir Edward Grey have summoned into conference the authoritative representatives of the great civilized powers, and through them have focused the intelligence and the conscience of mankind?